going to be there just for a minute, but if you want to turn your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to have the verse up on top too. Just take a brief break from the Gospel of Luke just to consider thankfulness. And you might think, oh, just one verse today. Well, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose, just so you know. Because the reality is we have so much to be thankful for. And as believers in Christ, there's a whole category of things that we can be thankful for that the rest of the world doesn't have. Those who don't know God don't have these blessings. And I'm going to bring out what this category is just through a quote from Billy Graham. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said, "May you always remember this Thanksgiving, not only the obvious gifts that God has given to you, but his spiritual blessings as well. The greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ and the salvation God offers us in him." So we are going to take inventory of some of those spiritual blessings. This is what Paul says about the spiritual blessings that we have. In Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly place." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, which blessings has God blessed us with? All the spiritual ones, right? All the spiritual blessings that God has to give, wants to give to believers, he has given them. You know, sometimes I'll hear Christian songs, and I hope I don't ruin any songs, too many songs for you, that will say things like, "God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you." But the reality is, he has already given us all of himself. He's already given you. We can give more to him, definitely, on a day-to-day basis, right? But he has already given us everything. And you can daily to choose to enter into that blessing, but God cannot give us more because he's already given us all of himself. The other thing I want you to notice just briefly about this verse is that these blessings are given to us in the heavenly places in Christ. So, these are blessings that are ours because of our union with Christ, because God has brought us into himself and into Christ through Christ's sacrifice, right? So, all of these blessings are brought to you by, you see that on TV? These are brought to you by, all of these blessings are brought to you by the blood of Jesus Christ, his redeeming work. Jesus paid for every one of these spiritual blessings, not just forgiveness of sin. They are all paid for by his sacrificial atoning death on the cross. So we are never to lose that connection, right? Now, for many of you, maybe this is the 50th Thanksgiving sermon you've ever heard. But we need to be stirred up by way of reminder. I don't remember who said it, but someone once said, "Thanksgiving is the least of virtues, but lack of thanksgiving is the worst of vices." We need reminders to be thankful because we need to be wary of being complaint-filled, right? We should be the most thankful people on the planet. And I think one of Satan's greatest tactics in seeking devouring Christians alive is by discontentment and despair. So today, we're going to have an exposition of all of our spiritual blessings. And you might be thinking, all of them? Well, we'll look at a lot of them. These are things that we can always be thankful for. Just like we sang, you give and take away. These are spiritual blessings that God doesn't take away. That they're always there. They're always at your disposal. You can always give thanks. And even though I told you last week I already decorated for Christmas, we already decorated for Christmas, and we love Christmas, I love Thanksgiving. It does not take away from Thanksgiving. I love the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas because as believers, they are holidays we celebrate from the heart every day. the incarnation of Christ and being thankful to God, that's everyday living. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, thanksgiving is life-changing. A complaining and grumbling heart is going to cripple you spiritually. Now, that does not mean we can't bring our complaints and requests to God. I mean, people did that in Scripture. David did that in most of his Psalms. But after you get it off your chest, don't forget thankfulness. Or maybe another way to say it is that you can bring your complaints to God, your anxieties to Him, with a thankful heart still. I like what John Piper says. He says, occasionally, weep deeply over the life you hoped would be. Grieve the losses. Then wash your face, trust God, and embrace the life you have. So we're going to look at these spiritual blessings, and these spiritual blessings are going to anchor you. Anchor you to a thankful heart, especially when you go through difficult times, when some of the physical blessings might be taken away. So I tried to put them in categories in your notes. That way it's just a little bit easier to think about. But I mean, this outline is kind of arbitrary. You could probably add your own things to it. But this is some things that you can be thankful for when it comes to the spiritual blessings that God gives and never takes away from us. So the first thing, category we're going to look at is spiritual relationships. And it starts with what I said earlier, a relationship with God. This sermon is not going to be hard to understand, but it is going to take a little bit of work and intentionality to implement calling these things to mind, especially when that difficult circumstance is right in front of your eyes or right at the forefront of your mind. You know, this would be a good list of things to put on your refrigerator. So to make it real practical to say, I need to think about these things. I need to give thanks to God for all of these things. And our first and foremost relationship, or first and foremost spiritual blessing, is the ability to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It might seem obvious, but it's something to think through and remind yourself to thank God for, because apart from a relationship with God, who are we? Who were we? Enemies of God. Under His wrath. What do we deserve from God? We deserve eternal punishment and hellfire. So we should not take verses like this lightly. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul in Romans 5 continues to just wax eloquently about that peace, that reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been brought near, and God has made peace with us, those who were ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, the high and holy God has drawn near to you, and He has drawn you to Himself. That two-way transaction, that God did it all. You didn't have anything to do with that. He opened your eyes. Just like John read this morning, Paul reiterating his testimony again. Like, Paul wasn't super smart and figured out, oh, I need to be in a right relationship with God. No, God literally blinded him and said, you serve me now. Got his attention. He's drawn us close to Himself. The Father, I mean, and that's what Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 is all about. God the Father chose you before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to the adoption as sons. And how did He pay for that? He paid for that by the precious blood of His only Son. And He lavishes His grace and love upon us through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes to these realities, opens our eyes to the gospel, and seals us and indwells us. The Trinity has wrapped you up in Himself. And we don't just stand before Him, we are in Him. God is our Father, Jesus Christ indwells us, the Spirit indwells us, the Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf. Jesus Christ is our advocate. Jesus Christ is our brother, our friend, our great high priest who gives us continual access to God. You can lean into this thought quite a bit, don't you see? how we relate to God. And these types of verses are all over the place. And, you know, the word in Christ or in Him, in Christ, in Him. I mean, even in Ephesians chapter 1, in Him is used like 10 times. You're wrapped up in Christ. You got to love this prayer that Jesus prays on your behalf. Not that He just prayed it for the disciples. This is what He prayed for all those who would believe in His name. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, John 17, but for those also who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, so that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory which You have given Me, think about this, the glory which You have given Me, I have given to them. Who's that talking about? You and me. You got the glory of Christ residing within you. The glory of the Father, the glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are one, I and them and You and Me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them even as You have loved Me. Do you see what you've been drawn into? It's not just some happy location or happy-go-lucky, day, or I take some time to recognize God, have my little quiet time with Him, and then ignore Him the rest of the day. I am with God 24/7, and He is with me, regardless of how much I think about Him. He's there with us. And so this is our biggest point. You're like, this is a long list. You have a long list ahead of you, and I'm still on the first one, right? Because it's the greatest thing to be thankful for is just God Himself. I wrote a song a while back called Thankful. And a line, and I haven't introduced it to you guys at all yet, but it says, "So many great things You have done, God, but I'm so thankful for You." Just be thankful for God. You know, that's going to transform how you view your day. If you can't think of any other blessing, if your eyes are so fixated on the blessing you lost, remember you have the Lord. Let's talk about this one. How about relationship with believers? If you're a believer in Christ, and I'm a believer in Christ, where does that place us? Places us together in Christ, right? We're all in the box together. That connects you with every single believer in the world and makes you family, right? So if I'm a believer in Christ and you're a believer in Christ, that never gives us permission to not fellowship with one another and not thank God for one another. When Paul encourages Timothy how to relate with people in his congregation, because Timothy is a young preacher, young pastor over the church of Ephesus, and Paul has some instruction. This is how you should relate with everyone. 1 Timothy 5, 1-2, "Do not sharply rebuke an old man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." How does Paul say that believers should relate with one another? As immediate family. We're not cousins in Christ. You're not my uncle or aunt in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we have fathers and mothers and children in Christ. Your body, the body of Christ is your immediate spiritual family. And I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that God has given me Camino Community Church as my family for these last 26 years. So we continue to make friends with one another and reap the benefits of that spiritual blessing of relationship with one another. We pour into one another. Now, this next one might be a little unexpected, but let me just hang with me for a second. Relationship with spouse. At first glance, you might not think like that's a spiritual blessing. But for Christians, it is. If you are married, you have the knowledge that your marriage is a visible representation of Christ's love for His church. and the church's respect and submission for Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of people not married, and you say, well, where's my gift? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that singleness is a gift because that frees you up to serve the Lord. And you don't have a spouse that you need to be devoted to. You know, there was actually a singles ministry in my church down south when I was going to seminary, and the group was called The Gift because they were single. But the reality is... But going back to the point, it becomes a spiritual relationship, your relationship with your spouse, because Paul says that this mystery is great, which means that when you're a believer in Christ, in your relationship with your spouse, God has invited you in to showing you the secret of what marriage was always meant to be about, which is pointing to Jesus and his sacrifice for his church, and the church's submission to Christ. So marriage is a physical blessing, but it's also a spiritual blessing to be thankful for. What about relationship with unbelievers? Is that something we can be thankful for? Paul says that we are ambassadors of reconciliation. What do ambassadors try to do? They try to reach out to those who are to be a gateway to people who are not of their country, right? And say, hey, check out how cool my country is. This is who we are in Christ. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. Let me show you how wonderful peace with God is. I mean, what a blessing it is to wield the sword of the gospel that pierces men's hearts. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says, knowing the fear of God, we persuade men. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you might proclaim the excellencies of the one who has taken you out of darkness and called you into his marvelous light. Like, it's an honor to be God's ambassadors. I encourage you to look at the lost people in your life, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, whoever it is you run into who you know who doesn't know the Lord, to give thanks to God for this awesome privilege, right? Be God's agent of salvation and ambassador of reconciliation. So being one of God's redeemed gives us many new spiritual relationships, right? Spiritual relation with God, believers, spouse, even unbelievers. I mean, we could stop there, and that would be enough for you to fill your heart as you approach the Thanksgiving holiday. But let's continue on to another category, spiritual abilities. Through Christ, God has enabled us to do so many things that would be impossible without a relationship with him. First one, ability to praise him. Like, that is a spiritual blessing and a spiritual ability. If your attention, if you have any desire to give attention to God, it's because God opened your eyes. Remember what Romans 3:10 says, there is none who seeks God. Therefore, if I have any inclination to seek God, that must be of God. And praise is what we were created for. We were created to give God glory, adoration, and the recognition that he deserves. We're going to go through some of these quicker now. Next, the ability to turn from sin and choose righteousness. This is what Romans 6-8 is all about. We have died to sin. Sin is no longer our master. Christ is. We have the ability to say no to sin and choose righteousness. Even though we still battle with sin, and even though we still know we are going to sin because we are in the flesh, but at any given moment, God gives the Holy Spirit to help sanctify us and make us like Christ. That means that we can submit to him in any given moment and say yes to righteousness, no to sin. Charles Spurgeon says, I cannot trifle with the evil that killed my best friend. I must be holy for his sake. How can I live in sin when he had died to save me from it? And yes, again, we still sin. I mean, this is the great promise of 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, he says, I'm writing to you that you may not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, as our advocate and our propitiation. So, I mean, this is the great catch-all of the Christian faith, right? We want to live righteous lives, and we have the ability to pursue a righteous life. But then if you stumble and fall, God's grace catches you. His forgiveness catches you. I mean, our Christian life is basically a trapeze net, right? Trapeze show, and you got the net that's always going to catch you. Grace is always going to catch you. So we have the ability to turn from sin and choose righteousness. Ability to give. And you might think, wait, I mean, unbelievers know how to give too, but we have the ability to give with a heart like this. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 14 to 16. This is David's prayer consecrating all of the offering that the Jews had consecrated to give towards the building of the temple. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. So we recognize that when we give, that was him giving us the ability to give. You know, Paul, it transforms the way we even view giving. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says, let him who steals steal no longer, and let him work for his wages so that he will have something to share with others. And you notice that Paul doesn't say so that he can work for his wages and have something for himself. No, it's like he transforms you from stealing to giving. Put off the old man, put on the new. So we recognize that this ability to give generously and graciously and abundantly and hilariously, as 2 Corinthians chapter 9 literally says, it's all from him. And that leads into this next one, ability to recognize God's provision. I imagine many people have the perspective on what they have in life. I worked for it. I did it. I have money and success and possessions because of my ability. But our perspective, like the last verse says, if I have it, it's because God gave it to me. God owns everything. It's all from him. Every good and perfect gift is from him. James 1:17. Psalm 145:16. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. This is why we have the great tradition of praying before we eat. If you want to be biblical, I can't remember what proverb it is, but it talks about giving thanks after the meal. But we pray before the meal. We recognize that our provision is from him. But you might say, well, you know, didn't we do the work of, you know, earning the money and buying the food or growing the food? Didn't we prepare the food? Why do we give thanks to God? Well, who gave you your hands and feet? Who gave you the ground? Who gave you the seeds? Who gave you the sun? Who gave you the neurons and synapses in your brain so that you could think and reason and work? Who sustains your atoms and splits your cells? 50,000 every second. Who's doing that? Not you. Acts 17 says, he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. We recognize and the ability to say, oh, it's all from you, and to thank God. Because I imagine this holiday, for so many others who don't know God, is just trying to conjure up feelings. Feelings, happy feelings about my stuff and the things I have. But for Christians, it's so much more. It's recognized. I mean, in Greek, the Greek word for it, eucharisteo, is it's compound word, forgot the word, compound word of two Greek words, goodness and grace. Eucharisteo, thanksgiving, is to recognize God's goodness and grace. And the predominant Hebrew word, yada, is to throw. You throw the credit back to God for all that he's done for us and who he is. Let's keep going. I keep going on trails in my mind. Ability to understand spiritual truth. Have you ever read the Bible and understood something from it? That's from the Lord. The word says it, 1 Corinthians 2:9-12. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Isn't that amazing that God invites us into his depths? For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Every time you read your Bible and are blessed by some truth, or have you ever been going about your day and a scripture comes to mind, or a truth comes to mind, or a comforting thought about God comes to mind? It didn't come to your brain because you're so smart. It comes because of his Holy Spirit, because of his grace. I'm sorry, I keep telling you guys you're not smart. I'm sure you guys are smart. But when it comes to all of the spiritual truths, the spiritual knowledge, it's all from the Lord. We bow down in praise and thanksgiving. Next one, ability to serve with spiritual gifts. When you become a believer, you are imparted with the gift of the Spirit and special gifts from that same Holy Spirit that we use to build up the body of Christ. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, just start serving. You can take spiritual gifts tests if you want, but start serving. What are you passionate about? Sherry and I came up with something this week. Actually, Sherry did. I shouldn't take credit. You did. She said, ask other people what your spiritual gifts are. Your brothers and sisters in Christ will help you find them. And sometimes we try to go to the lists of the gift in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter chapter 4. You have lists of certain spiritual gifts, but sometimes we say, well, I have this gift and this gift and this gift. A better way to look at it is that God has given you, each believer, a unique spiritual gift that is unique to you that might be an amalgamation of the various gifts listed. But he gave you a unique gift to serve in the body of Christ, to give glory to him. And that's a spiritual blessing from God. Are you guys thankful yet? Are you giving thanks to God yet? I hope so. How about the ability to rejoice in suffering? Yeah, it is hard, but it's still a gift because there's lots of people out there who do not have this ability. The world has a wide variety of suffering to offer us, but God gives believers the unique ability, the unique blessing, gracious gift from God, to rejoice in it. Back to Romans chapter 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And then Paul gives us that laundry list of things that we can be thankful for. And one of the foremost things in his mind, blessings in his mind, is we also exult, we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. He's conforming you to the image of Christ through tribulation. And I think this is why there are so many verses about this, James chapter 1, all of 1 Peter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. C.S. Lewis says this, I don't have it. We ought to give thanks for all fortune, if it is good, because it is good. If bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and the contempt of this world and the hope of our eternal country. I mean, we could dig so much further into that one, but we press on. Ability to produce spiritual fruit. And most of us know Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and the rest. We know that, right? But I think we often forget the significance of that, because we see that list of things and we go, oh, I need to try to be more loving. Oh, I need to do that. I need to do that. I need to do that. But Jesus himself gives us the way we do it. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, go to the Lord. Say, help me. I surrender to you. I need you. Help me to follow you. I want to live for you. I want to enjoy you. And let him bear the fruit. Stop trying to conjure it up on your own. You know, we had this cat named Chandler that drank out of the toilet. And anyone have a pet that drinks out of the toilet? It's disgusting. And it's like, I would put bowls everywhere. Here's fresh water. Fresh water. No, cat wants to drink out of the toilet. And honestly, when we try to pursue the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fruit on our own, say, I'm going to do it. It's like we're drinking out of the toilet. When God says, drink from here. Drink from Christ. And he'll produce the fruit in you. You know what? Even thankfulness is like this. Because we try to do the same thing. Like, oh, I just need to try really hard to be thankful. You know, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 really quick. Even thankfulness, even though it's not categorized as a fruit, is still a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a product of the Spirit's work in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, as you go through that in the original language, that's the guiding command. Be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, look what happens. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And what else flows from that? Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So you want to cultivate thanksgiving? Don't try to drink out of the toilet. Go to the fresh water of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, Paul, you know, in a parallel passage in Colossians 3, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. You want to be filled with the Spirit, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Get into the word. Let it fill you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Spirit pierce your heart with his word. And then you'll be walking in the Spirit. Surrender to him. Seek him. And he will make you overflow with song and thankfulness. And look what type of thankfulness it says. Thankfulness for all things. I mean, that's pretty amazing that you could, that the Spirit would transform you in such a way to see a situation to, you don't have to say thanks for the bad thing itself, but to give thanks in that thing, to give thanks for what God is doing. You can give thanks all around that thing. You can say that thing is bad, but you can still give thanks for God because you know he's working his good, right? So a lot of spiritual abilities that God has given to us. What about spiritual promises? 2 Peter 1:4 says, for by these, talking about his glory and excellence, remember, because he's given us his glory to reside within us. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature. You know, remember when I talked about being drawn into the Trinity himself? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And that's the guiding marker, because after 2 Peter 1:4, Peter will talk about adding different qualities and characteristics to yourself. But it has to be guided by this, that you're intimately connected to God. But we have promises. I want you to shout them out. What are some of the promises that you hold to from the Scriptures? Never leaving nor forsake you. Yes. Anything else? Peace that passes all understanding. Eternal life. Joy.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ.
Amen. We just sang it. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't there a promise? I mean, study the names of God. Isn't there promises wrapped up and around each one of those? And all the other verses you put on your refrigerator. You got one, Larry?
He's coming back.
He's coming back. Amen. Amen.
He knows the plans he has for us, plans for welfare, not for evil.
Oh, man. Do you know how much it's ministering to each heart here, just having you speak it out and not just me? And they're not just for your refrigerator. They're for you to hold in your heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. To remind us of just how held you are by the Lord. He's got his grip on us. His promises are sure. Last thing, spiritual purpose. As believers, we don't have to just wander aimlessly through life, just trying to survive, right? Just get a job, support the family, don't break the law. Our lives go way beyond that. As believers, we recognize, as the Catechism says, that our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So we can see life through all of that lens. You glorify God in your job, in your family, in your church, in your leisure, in your relationships. That's what we were created to do. Romans 14. We looked at this last week, I think. For not one of us lives for himself, not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And Paul's being intentionally repetitious there. Who do you belong to? Who do you live for? The Lord. You know, we can even recognize this through the lens of thanksgiving. Turn to 2nd, well, you don't have, if you want to, you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You got this little truth just tucked away in 2 Corinthians. It's so great. Reminding us of the purpose of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause what? The giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And you say, oh, I don't know how to live for the glory of God. Be thankful. You got one way right there. This is the ultimate purpose for human beings. God has given us the purpose to glorify Him, and there are other sub-purposes that fall under that umbrella. We are called to make disciples. We are called to love one another. We are called to share the gospel. Those are different ways. Those are just different ways we bring glory to God, but we can bring glory to God in every activity of life. Whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. You know, I don't know about you. I can't remember the last time I woke up in the morning and wondered what my purpose in life was. And if you do, I just gave it to you. So you don't have to anymore. You can wake up and say, I'm living for the glory of God, and I'm inviting to do others to do the same. And if you do, you know, because we have hard days, if you do wake up and you feel that way, give thanks. And you just stepped into your purpose. Give thanks to the Lord. Rest in Him. Enjoy Him. You enjoying the Lord today? Anybody?
Yes.
You are fulfilling your purpose as a human being. Isn't that great? So, hopefully this sermon will whet your appetite a little bit to go dig into the Scriptures. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you to find more promises, more spiritual blessings. Because how many did God give to you? All of them. All of them. So, I want to, thanks. I just want to share this last quote in closing. You know, most of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom. You know, her father was a watchmaker in Austria, protected Jews and the disabled from the Nazis, and she and her family were caught and sent to concentration camps. And only because of a clerical error were they released. Error, not an error for God. But this is what she says. She says, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I place in God's hands, that I still possess. And I think what she meant by that was the spiritual blessings never go away. And especially as you continue to grow in Christ, the blessings become more and more amplified, more and more apparent. But God can't give you more of himself. He's already given you all of himself. If anything in life is taken away, the spiritual blessings are still there if you're in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of just the wonder of Christian thankfulness. That we give thanks to you, a great and high and holy and personal God. We thank you that you've drawn near to us and we to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who does not know you, Lord, open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes to the knowledge of the glory of you in the face of Jesus Christ. And that they would believe and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. All blessing, all goodness that comes from your hand. Thank you for opening our eyes to it today, Lord. Give us thankful hearts as we leave, not only for the holiday, but for every moment of our lives. We'll be an offering of thankfulness to you that abounds to your glory every day. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.